Are you ready for new dimensions and countless possibilities today and for the future? It's an exciting new time, and the answers are out there. So join Mary Jane Popp as she explores the unique and unusual for a better life on Pop Talk in search of the truth. And here she is, Mary Jane Popp.
Hey, welcome to Pop Talk. Have we got a show for you today? I mean, some really unusual things, which, you know me, I'm very curious about it. If it sounds unusual, I'm going to go for it. But we're going to be talking about the way of the wild woman, nature for women, and healing from the afterlife. Or was it in the afterlife? I'm not sure. And remember Little House on the Prairie? And if you remember Dean Butler, he was Laura Wilder's love interest. Almanzo was his name. He's going to be joining us today, too. So it's a little something for everyone, including something that we all need to use a lot more. It's the word love. Why? Let's find out why it's important. Well, that word love lately, I don't know. There's an awful lot of hate out there. But can we respond with love to life's difficulties? Well, it seems impossible the way the world is going these days. But Selena Maitreya says that we can. She's a spiritual teacher and creator of the Clarion Call. It's an online conference of spiritual teachers. And she's also an author of How to Respond with Love to Life's Difficulties. Nice to have you with us, Selena.
Thank you, Mary. It's an honor to be here. I'm all excited.
You betcha. Now, define the word spiritual. We use that. We throw it around a lot. But I'm not sure everybody understands what it is, or are there different definitions?
Oh, I think there are so many different definitions. I would share with you that for me, spirituality is the inner, it's the frequencies within my body. It's the higher energy of love within my body. And living a spiritual life for me would be living a life where I live in the 24/7 physical world that we travel, the daily life, in those values. So spiritual is the inner nature of who we are versus our outer physical world.
So we want to respond with love. I think, you know, basically pretty much everybody. There's a few, you know, you kind of wonder about. But how do you respond with love and they want to spit in their face?
Well, you know, it's a really good question. We are living in some very, very unusual times where there's a tremendous amount of division amongst people.
Oh, yeah.
In the world that I travel, Mary, it's very, very important to remember that although we're all very different in terms of our histories, our physicality, our experiences in life, I would share with you and I think it would be very hard for anybody to disagree with us that the one piece that we all share is the energy of love that's within us. Hmm. And that that energy of love that we have when we look at our children, our grandchildren, pet our beloved pets, look into our lover's eyes, it's not just the person that we love. It's what we're really responding to is the divine within them, which is accessed by the divine within me. So we all, Mary, have this energy of love. And while we have different political views and ideas of how to live life, we all have that one energy in common. And that's where we can meet people on.
You think so?
I know so. I mean, do it all the time as do my students.
Well, yeah. But that's a, you got a, I mean, I'm not saying you have a small group of people, but that's small compared to the millions and billions of people out there. I don't know, how do we bring them all together? There's religious differences and political differences and, you know, you name it. There are differences and difficulties in trying to bring people together and have some sort of compromise. I always, everybody goes, oh, well, compromise. I said, compromise means nobody's totally happy. But you got to do something so that you can come together, right?
Well, you know, I think when, as I travel, and I travel a great deal, when I travel around and I meet people one-on-one, I think the majority of people in this world are very good people. A lot of people have had a lot of difficulty, have been hurt, have not received love, have had love not be their touch point in their life. People, you know, kind people are people who have received love. So when you meet people one-on-one and you extend kindness to people, goodness to people, we're habitual people. We're trained by our society to almost respond back automatically to the kind of energy that's been given to you, which is why when people are driving on the road and someone cuts them off, regardless of what was in their mind or their heart a minute before, most people get startled. They respond from fear. But when you respond to people from love, when you extend love to people, 9 times out of 10, they're gonna respond back in kind. And so I think we have the opportunity, not necessarily to have to bring everybody together, but in our daily life, if we act in that energy of love, we're putting that out into the collective and we're having the opportunity for other people to respond to us that way.
Define love.
Love for me shows up in many different ways. It can show up as kindness. It can be defined as compassion. It can be defined as patience. It can be defined as tolerance. It's when we're able to meet another from that highest point of love, which is within us. And that for me would, you know, be love.
How can you love somebody who wants to hurt you? And I mean, not necessarily only physically, but mentally and feeling-wise and emotional-wise, how can you give love to someone who wants to do bad to you, not good?
We all have the capacity, because we have this energy. Love is an energy. And for anyone who's questioning whether we have energy, and it's a word that I know is thrown around a lot in society, but it's a very significant word in the world that I walk. And when we are in the energy of love, we're feeling it in our body, right? That is a frequency. So if you have a doubt that frequencies exist, there's EKGs, there are EEGs that measure the frequency in our brain and our heart. So understanding, if somebody came up to me, somebody asked me the question, Mary, once, if somebody comes up to you in the street and slaps you, you're going to love that person, similar to what you're asking. I'm going to go to compassion. I'm going to understand that that person somewhere has been very much hurt, has been denied love. So am I going to continue to stand there and allow them to hit me in the face? Absolutely not. But I'm not going to hit them back, and I'm not going to harbor ill feelings towards them. I'm going to offer them compassion in my heart.
Hmm. So I know that, you know, if you think about religion, you think about Jesus Christ and everything, it was turn the other cheek. If someone hits you, turn the other cheek. That's hard to do, you know?
Well, yeah, I'm not going to turn the other cheek, as I said, and allow them to hit me. But I am going to, as I walk away, you know, bless them and ask that they find a way to release whatever created the need for them to be out of the act of love.
So if you're brought up with this negativity, and a lot of young people are, they're brought up with negative, it follows them the rest of their lives. How do they turn that around?
Well, that's a choice. I grew up in a house where my mother was a really incredible person, but she was the most negative person I had ever met. I remember going down from Boston, where I lived, to New York, and saying to myself, okay, maybe you're mistaken. Remember, watch for her to say something positive. And 3 days later, I was driving home still waiting. And so that piece of my mother wasn't the only part of who she was, right? But that was very significant. So I chose, because that didn't feel right to me. That was such a difficult piece of who she was for me to live with. I chose to find ways to see the places in myself that were in judgment, that were negative, and learn how to release those and how to embrace love. So people who come here, my students, they've all had difficult lives, and they've all chosen at different points to find ways to release that energy and replace them so that they were not continuing the generational habit of being out of the energy of love.
Yeah.
It's a choice. It's always a choice. And Mary, it's a choice every moment of the day.
Yeah.
Because life is very difficult.
Absolutely.
No doubt about that.
It's interesting that you say that about your mom, because my mom was very negative. Not that she wasn't caring or loved us in those kinds of ways as a child and all that. But, you know, it was like, I use this as an example. I laugh at it now, but it was pretty serious when I thought about it back then. You know, you'd go on a trip and it was like, oh, my God, you know, you're going to have an accident. You're going to take a cruise. Oh, my God, the ship's going to sink. You're going to fly. It's going to crash. It was never have a wonderful time, you know, and that was it.
Yep.
Is it because the way she was brought up that way?
You know, I have no idea, but I will tell you that Spirit has always said to me that every generation that is born, just in the nature of it being the last generation, has more opportunity to be more conscious. And I believe that to be true. When I'm 69. When I was a little girl, my dad's best friend was his Navy buddy, a man named Eddie O'Neill. And whenever you mentioned Eddie's occupation, which was a chiropractor, you whispered it. Because 40 years ago, a chiropractor was a witch doctor.
Yeah.
So when you think of the changes that have gone on in the way that chiropractic, that acupuncture, that meditation, that yoga are now embraced in our society, there are yoga studios on the corner of every major city where before that was just an Eastern practice. So we've evolved so much that spiritual phrases are used in advertising now, and people are coming to make these decisions to come to learn how to lose the behaviors and beliefs that have been given to them by their families, the prior generations, and to lose the beliefs that no longer serve us collectively and individually. So, yeah. It's a really wonderful time. At the same time, there's a lot of crazy, chaotic behavior surrounding us. This is a perfect time to learn how to make the choice to let go of the behaviors and the habits that have been given to us that no longer serve.
So you mentioned the word frequency. Now, when you mean frequency, you're not talking about a lot of times. You're talking about some kind of electrical frequency. What kind of frequency?
Yeah, frequency is another word for energy in my vocabulary. It's another word for energy. So in the body, who we are a body, a physical form. You know, we think of ourselves, Mary, as a me or an I, a one-dimensional being. But we're actually multidimensional beings. So the frequencies within us are the low frequency of pain. That's when we're depressed, when the world, your mom was in that energy quite a lot. Or the energy of love, which is our highest frequency, our natural inheritance. That's when we're feeling open and expansive. So those are two different manifestations within us. Our physical body is a manifestation, our physical brain. Our emotional body is a different manifestation. Our thinking mind, our intellectual body. And so we have the choice to notice, to learn how to become aware as we move through our day as to what energy we're in at any time. And through the book that I've written, Raise Your Frequency, Transform Your Life, How to Respond from Love to Life's Difficulties, I lay out an actual process that enables us to learn how to watch our frequencies, notice where we are, and then actually shift them in the moment.
Amazing. So what about folks who are going to be afraid to be open? You know, maybe they've tried it and they got, you know, slapped or they got hurt and they just don't want to do it anymore. How do you get out of that hole?
Well, I think I would start by reminding them asking them to go to a time when they remember being truly loved. I have a beautiful practice I take my students through when they have had a lack of love, or they're someone who is always a big giver, and it's called Open to Receive. So I would ask that person to really remember a time that they felt truly seen, truly known, and truly loved, and to really just feel that in their body. And that is a frequency. And what we know about frequency is whatever frequency we're inhabiting, we create more of, because there's a truth in the world that I float through, which is that we are our attention, and what we put our attention on grows. Mm. And our attention is another word for consciousness. So when we bring our highest energy, our consciousness, to a moment that we remember that was beautiful and we feel loved and seen and noted, we create more of that energy within us. And that's a wonderful place to start, by bringing our attention to the moments that we've had that are wonderful, because that's the whole point of this practice, Mary, that chaos is always going to be there. It's a very big part of our physical world, as is joy, as is wonder. But what we put our attention on is what we bring about in our next moment, and the next moment, and the next moment. So we get to choose, am I going to put my attention on the fact that that person just slapped me, or am I going to put my attention on turning away, walking away, blessing them, and being very, very grateful for the choices I have in my life?
Did you ever,
we always have the choice of where we put our attention.
Did you ever get your mom to raise her frequency?
You know, my mom became a therapist, and she was a very loving person. She ended up taking her life when she was 60 years old.
Why?
Because, well, she had Crohn's disease. And my mom, two things. My mom had Crohn's disease, so she was in a great deal of pain. And she always believed in self-authority. Her favorite book, Mary, was Jessica Mitford's book, The American Way of Death.
Oh, wow.
And my mother felt that we should have the opportunity to choose to end our life whenever we wanted to. And she lived that. And she died way before I became a teacher. So I would have loved to have had a continuing relationship with my mom and be able to help her. She helped me by being who she was in her authenticity, and being, as you said, your mom was. My mom also was a very loving person. And that goes back to what we were just talking about multidimensionality. Your mom wasn't just negative. My mom wasn't. The person who slaps you in the street isn't just in that moment the anger that they are. We are so many different moving parts. And so and our life is full of so many moving parts, that the whole concept of we are our attention and what we choose to put our attention on is critically important.
You know,
I would have loved it, but I didn't have that opportunity.
Yeah, no, I understand. Interesting, too, though, because it's very difficult to have someone do something bad to you, negative to you. It could be a small thing, could be a big thing. Without the word revenge, I'm going to get back. How do you deal with that? That's another emotion we have to deal with.
Well, I've never had revenge in my nature. I have to tell you, I just personally haven't. But I understand that people do, and I understand.
I mean, look at our politicians.
they
look for revenge.
Yeah. So for me, when something happens to me that feels badly, I like to not place myself in any frequency of victimhood.
Okay.
And I like to say what. I go to Source. I have a very 24/7 connection with Source. And my first step is to say, okay, what am I to learn here? What am I to learn from this experience? Because Spirit told me a long time ago, there is always a purpose to difficulty. And if we respond to difficulty with the same frequency that it lands, with more chaos, whether it's revenge or anger or frustration, A, you're not finding out what you need to learn, and B, you're creating more of that same energy, and your next moment is going to be created from that energy. So we don't have a choice as to what lands, but we have a choice as to our response. And I am committed to being in the energy of love 24/7 as much as I can. There are times people will say to me, well, do you get frustrated? Of course I do. But I watch as I move through the world. And as soon as I see myself in low frequency, I immediately go through the process I lay out in the book and I switch it, because it doesn't serve me to respond to somebody else's negativity with more of the same, because that energy then I'm choosing to bring into my sphere, and my next moment's going to be created from that. Okay. So why would I want to create my next moment from that same chaotic energy?
Now, you mentioned the word spirit. Spirit spoke mm-hmm. to you. Who or what is spirit?
Well, we all have our own interpretation of that. My relationship is with the divine that's within me and the divine that surrounds us all. So for me, spirit is what other people might call God, Yahweh, Buddha, Krishna. For me, it's an energy field that is called oneness. And oneness is the energy that has created everything and is within everybody and is that one common denominator that we all have.
Now, you mentioned spirit. You also mm-hmm. mentioned source. Are those the same thing?
For me, they are. Oneness, source, spirit, the divine, just different words for the same energy field. Yep.
So you have to believe in something, right?
Well, you know, I believe that even if you don't believe in anything, you have the energy of love within you.
Yeah.
And you have the choice to connect to that energy of love or not. Yeah.
Okay. So how does one begin? Just little things? You can't do big things. You got to start little, don't you, and build?
I think there needs to be a willingness. I think there needs to be a desire. And I find that desire comes when either there has been a major traumatic life event or someone just has everything that you would think would make them happy and they feel empty. There needs to be a willingness to want to experience something outside of just a normal life, to be more loving, to be more kind. And I think once the willingness is there, what happens is the universe usually brings to you oneness, spirit, brings to you opportunities. So I think people can start by reading books that attract them, looking at podcasts that interest them along these lines, going to a workshop, perhaps. There's so much material out there now. You can just go and sit in your living room or on your deck and close your eyes and breathe, giving yourself the opportunity to bring yourself out of the 24/7 world and breathe. In my book, there's a beautiful practice called the breath of life, which is so simple, and it changes our state from any low frequency into a state of peace within 5 minutes. And all it is a practice where we're closing our eyes, we're deeply breathing in and out through our nose with our attention on the breath. We're not trying to meditate, we're only breathing. I've never taken anybody through that practice who didn't come out feeling different. So just giving yourself the opportunity to unplug completely and really just sit with the breath, because the breath has been defined as the physical manifestation of the soul.
Got it.
So when you close your eyes and breathe, you're focusing on the divine within you.
Well, Selena, we've run out of time, but I want to make sure, give them the name of your book.
Yes, it's Raise Your Frequency, Transform Your Life, How to Respond with Love to Life's Difficulties.
Fantastic. And I assume it's available everywhere, yeah?
Oh, yeah. It just went on Amazon and bookstores all over the world. Inner Traditions is my publisher, and they're quite a powerhouse.
And do you have a website?
I do. Thank you for asking. It's Practical Spirituality with Selena, all one word, and Selena is Selina.com.
Fantastic. Thanks, Selena. We appreciate it, because we've got to put a lot of that love out there, I'm telling you.
Well, thank you, Mary, for everything you do and helping us all to get there. I appreciate that. It's been a pleasure to be here with you.
Right back at you. You take care now.
Okay, darling. Thank you.
One of the oldest but still most effective techniques of a demagogue is to draw a sharp distinction between our tribe, us, however that is defined, and them, the others, those people who aren't quite as good, smart, wealthy, sophisticated, and on, as us. Cult leaders have used this technique to make it okay to treat those others more poorly than members of our own tribe. Psychologist Avi Tushman, in his book Our Political Nature, talks about the different ways liberals and conservatives define tribe, those like us. Conservatives, he says, tend to have a fairly narrow definition of our tribe, while liberals have a much more expansive view. We see this played out in our politics during this election year. One of the candidates talks about, quote, vermin poisoning the blood of our country, echoing Adolf Hitler, while the other one talks about bringing all Americans together. Quite a contrast, and as a psychologist, quite a confirmation of Tushman's presence, which is based on modern personality theory and was written years before the current political situation. We really haven't changed all that much in 90 years. I'm Dr. Dave Davidson-Mateau with the Mental Health Minute, a public service of Sierra Hills Individual and Family Therapy in Auburn.
Volunteering is critical to strengthening communities, but it's on the decline, which means now is the time to jump in. You can make a difference every day. It just takes that first step to get involved. Start in your own neighborhood with an organization or cause that's important to you. It's easy to join the movement. Find volunteer opportunities and get actionable steps to drive real and sustained change when you visit pointsoflight.org today.
Find wisdom from the afterlife? Now, what about healing wisdom from the afterlife? Well, maybe we can get some answers from Alexandra LeClaire. She was the president of an international TV production and multimedia firm, and then it happened. She discussed and discovered her shamanic vocation. In the past 20 years, well, she works as an energy healer and medium. So, can we communicate with the spirit world for guidance? Well, Alexandra says yes, on the cycles of death, life after death, and rebirth, and how communicating with spirits can help you navigate daily life and support your soul's purpose. Wonder what that is. And that's her book, Healing Wisdom from the Afterlife. Hi, Alexandra.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. It's so good to have you with us because, man, we need a lot of help, you know? It's just... you say healing wisdom. Why is there wisdom from the afterlife and we don't have it here?
Well, it's because when we incarnate, we are just infants and we aren't really a completely blank page, because we bring in a lot of past life experiences, and then we discover life here. And when we connect with the spirit world, that's when we start to get some information about past lives and past experiences and how to navigate through this life better. Mm. I spent over 20 years basically communicating with spirits for people and exploring healing and helping people heal. And it's quite extraordinary because when you combine communication with the spirit world, the spirits around, and life here on Earth, well, it all gets better. It just gets better. Hmm. It makes it easier.
Well, how did you go from being a TV production person to being a shaman? Come on.
Well, I started, it all started out with me falling ill. And I talk about it in my book, Seeing the Dead, Talking with Spirits. And it kind of describes my experience because I was an international television producer. And then I had fibroids. I was hemorrhaging. Level of iron was very low. In fact, one of my doctors told me that she put people in the hospital who had higher iron levels. And she basically said, if you don't have a hysterectomy, you're going to drop dead in the street one day. So I thought, have the surgery, drop dead in the street. I think I'll have the surgery. And around then, someone said, why don't you go see a healer? Well, at that point, I really didn't know anything about healers, and I certainly didn't know that they existed if they existed somewhere, that they existed here in New York, in New York City even. So anyway, I went to see Penny Lishon, who facilitated my healing, and I never had the surgery, and I was healed. I say facilitated.
So you didn't drop dead, right?
Yes, that's good. No, far from it. Uh-huh. And then I wanted to do a documentary about healers and about her. And as I started to research it and discover there are a lot of healers around, I ended up opening up to my own gifts. And the very first, it was a workshop for veteran healers. And I was allowed to audit it for one day. And as I was there, I felt completely overwhelmed at that point about what was going on and energy and how they're doing the energy and all of this. And at the end of the day, they were having a little ceremony for someone who passed. And there were three people who were related to the woman who passed. And we were invited to stay and bring energy to that ceremony. So I thought, okay, bonus, this should be interesting. And so we walked around. It was the three people were seated in the together, and there was the chair with the lit candle and the keys of the deceased woman. And all I knew was that she was the mother of one of them. There were a woman, an older man, and a younger man. And I didn't know any of these people. And at one point we stopped, and the man who was organizing the ceremony said, I hope that Evelyn is here, because then she could see how much we all cared about her. And at that point, for some reason, I thought all healers could see spirits. Mm. And so I really was so annoyed at not being able to understand what anyone had been doing all day, feeling energy and all that. I wanted to see spirit too, and I had doggone it. I wanted to see Evelyn, and all of a sudden she appeared to me, and she was.
How do you know? You say this is part of something. How did you know it was her?
Well, she appeared to me. She was trying to comfort the woman who was crying.
Oh.
And there she was trying to comfort her, and I was so pleased that I could see a spirit. That I piped up and I said, I know she's here. I can see her. Well, afterwards, I had it confirmed that she was the mother of the woman there, and everybody felt really good about it. I also discovered I was the only person who saw her.
Oh, yeah, and that'd be the hardest part.
But everybody was really very supportive about it, and I had it confirmed that it was her, and I felt good about it. And I went home and I told my husband, and he seemed to be okay with it too, you know, so that didn't seem weird or strange or spooky or any of that. It was like, oh, great, I can do this too. And that's how it got started.
Huh.
And then after that, I went to a lot of different workshops with different teachers, and every single time I would serendipitously be partnered with somebody. Just ran someone I happened to be sitting next to. And every time the person would be at the workshop because they were trying to make closure after losing a loved one. And I could do that for them. And so I started out by saying, well, you know, I could contact that person, but you don't let anybody know I can do this.
Yeah.
And then it was finally those people who said, you have to be... tell people about your gift. This is wonderful. It heals people, and is you can't hide a gift like that. And so then me, the soccer mom and international businesswoman, I started doing healing work and being a medium, and I love it. It's wonderful.
Amazing.
It's such gratifying, wonderful work.
You know, define spirits, and I'll tell you, the reason I ask that is because my husband recently passed. And I know he's here.
Sorry.
I know he's around.
Yeah.
And guiding me and different things. Strange things have come into my life that you go, it had to be him because that's the way he would think, you know. But
yeah,
it's not like you see him. It's other influences around you that kind of tell you that he's there. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, there are many different ways that we can perceive spirit. And in fact, I go around the different places across the United States and abroad teaching people how to communicate with spirits. And in my new book, Healing Wisdom from the Afterlife, I give people directions on how they could begin doing that. And basically, spirit is energy, but it's energy that can manifest itself in different forms. For example, some people can hear the voices of their loved ones sometimes, or might be able to feel someone near them, or might also be able to see them in a dream. Yeah, that's a spirit coming to visit you. It's in a dream. I think the way that people communicate with spirits the most is by having conversations with them in their mind. And most of the time the people think, well, I'm just making up what my loved one would have said. But it's not true. It really is the spirit having a conversation with you. Mm. And I think for you, you know, you've already gotten even better at communicating with spirits by being able to identify when the spirits are near you by bringing different things to your attention or different people. For example, my brother who passed was very interested in Corvettes. That was his very favorite car.
Uh-huh.
And one day, just randomly, there was a Corvette parked in front of my house. And I knew that it was just my brother's way of saying, hi, you know, sis,
yeah,
you know, I'm okay. And there's one of my clients, when her husband passed, their best time together was in the morning, breakfast together.
Mm-hmm.
And after all of the memorial and all of that, then she finally was in her home by herself. And it was the first morning alone without her husband. And she sat at the table, breakfast table, and looked out the window at the bird feeder, and there was a brand new bird who arrived. And she saw that bird, and she knew that that was her husband's way of letting her know that he's there. And every single day, that new bird was there having breakfast with her.
It's true that things do just kind of pop up, so to speak, no pun intended. But seriously, I mean, my husband's name is Eric. That was his first name.
Yeah.
The priest who came to give him the last rites, which I did not know till he got there, was Father Eric. And the handyman that I discovered from a neighbor because I needed some things done around the house after he passed, his name is Eric. And I thought, okay, Rick, you know, we used to call him Rick. I said, Rick, uh-huh. I know you're around. This happened never, ever, ever before. I was parked in the garage. Later in the evening, I went back out to get something from the garage, and there was about a 8-inch black feather laying on the floor. And I said, never. I mean, we've lived in this house for a long time. We're talking decades. And never, ever seen a feather in my garage.
Yeah.
Especially a big one like that. And I still have it. I still have it. I kept it.
Yeah.
And I thought at first, you know, black feather, that must be something terrible. It was good, right?
Yeah. Yes, very good. It was his way of saying hello and giving you a gift that you could hold on to. And it was a big feather, so you'd be sure to notice it and keep it and know that you're protected.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, that if you think it's a crow's feather.
A what?
A crow?
It might have been. We have really big black crows and blackbirds in our area.
Right. Well, because the meaning of that is messages from the spirit world.
Oh, okay.
So
what's the message? I mean,
It means that you should just listen, be open to change, and listen to messengers from the spirit realm.
Oh, okay, that sounds
and
great.
And so, you know, I think he is just a way of him letting you know, I'm here. I'm going to be talking to you. You know, your Rick is going to be talking to you, and he's going to be helping you to remind you that you are not alone. That he isn't there in physical body, but he certainly is there with you spiritually. And, you know, it's incredible all the things they can do from the spirit world.
Really?
It's really impressive. Yeah. Another client of mine, her husband who passed, he was very close to their grandchildren. And sometimes when my client would go home, and this is after her husband passed, all of a sudden she finds a photograph of one of the grandchildren fell off the wall.
Oh.
And so, you know, she's like, what is that doing? And I said, he's trying to tell you that that child needs some TLC now.
Oh.
So you have to go help.
Wow.
And so it wouldn't always be the same photo. It would be different ones at different times. And even though it was very secure there, it would fall down for him to let her know that child needs some attention right now.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Now, the only thing I always was told that they, when you pass over, you need to move on, whether it's to see the light, go through the tunnel, see family. I think everybody has a little different experience. However, are we holding them back because they think they need to take care of us on this side instead of letting them go to where they need to go to?
Oh, no, they go to the light. And going to the light is a very wonderful thing because when they go to the light, it's like they are released from any pain, any kind of negativity. It really is an incredibly blissful place, really blissful. And then in that state of wonderful bliss, then they can return and be with us. That basically we start out with a soul, and our soul is very strong and very big. And then the soul comes and joins our physical body as we're born. And so the two are together throughout an incarnation. And then when the body gives out, the soul, captures that life. We can understand it kind of like on a computer cloud,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so that incarnation is there to have people be able to understand a better way of living. And so that's a wonderful thing for people to be able to communicate with that cloud version.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And that can communicate with us in real time. At the same time, because the soul is so large, a part of the soul can go into another incarnation. So our present incarnation is always available in real time, while our larger soul sends out another part of it in another incarnation. So we're not holding anything back.
It's so we have a split personality? I mean,
so. Well, no. I like to think of it as a peninsula. Like if you live on the end of a peninsula, you might believe you live on an island. So an incarnation, it's like a peninsula, where we think, well, we just have this life and that's it. But in reality, it's attached to a larger body.
Okay.
And so every incarnation is another peninsula.
Oh.
And we all have the possibility of accessing these past lives, but we don't necessarily try to do that. We think, well, we just have this life and that's it. But our past lives have an influence on our present life, so I think it's very interesting to do that. And it's all part of a one larger soul.
Well, you know, seriously, I mean, we know there's going to be something after because we're all made of energy. And we already know scientifically or religiously, it doesn't matter, the definition is the same. Energy cannot be created or destroyed. It can change form, but it goes on.
Yes. Well, and what's particularly interesting is that the cloud of our, you know, the kind of the video recording of our incarnation on this cloud can interact with us in real time. And that's it's a fun thing to because that way we can communicate with our incarnate with someone from who might have died 40 years ago. There was, for example, a client of mine lost her mother when she was very young, and so this was 40 years later, and she wanted to contact her mother. And her mother, I could contact her, and the mother told me about a photo of the her daughter and her. The daughter, my client, was on a swing attached to a tree. And I described this to my client, and she said, no, I don't remember anything like that ever happened. And then about a year later, all of a sudden she found that photo.
Oh.
So I think her mother was busy, first of all, when she was communicating with us, when I was contacting her for her daughter, and secondly, to help her daughter go and find it, probably whispering to her daughter, well, why don't you go look at that box over there that you didn't go through for a long time? Mm. Why don't you look through there? And that's what they do. They'll come and they'll whisper things to us. So there's it's something that is really exciting. Oh, I have to tell you another way. You're going to love this.
Okay.
That spirits communicate with us. As a client of mine who lost her husband, and it was just the two of them. They didn't have any children, and it was their life was together. That was it. And so when he passed, it was devastating for my client. And she had two cats, and her cats loved to have some balloons. Like her husband said, why don't you get when I'm contacting him, he said, ask her to get a heart balloon for the cats to play with the string. And so she did, and the cats loved it. This was really wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it came time for their wedding anniversary, and she was feeling very depressed because it was her wedding anniversary, and he wasn't there.
Yeah.
And the balloon had deflated quite a while ago and was just there on the floor. Well, she woke up in the morning feeling not so peppy and got up, and what did she find but the balloon, the deflated balloon, was stuck to the wall above the photograph of their wedding.
Oh.
But he had done that. He had moved it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So that's what spirits do. Quite lovely.
Well, there's so many other questions that we need to talk about because, we just have the tip of the iceberg at this point. Because a lot of, you know, people, I think the only reason that we fear death. But it's if we just believe that there is something and there will be something, you know, special. And I guess the one question I want to answer today, and then next time when we have you on, we'll get into some of the deeper things. But when you pass over, is there a consciousness that goes with the energy that is manifested?
Yes. Usually what happens when somebody passes, that there's a loved one who is there. I've witnessed this having been with my own husband when he passed. You know, that his grandmother, who actually raised him, was there for him. And they went to the light, and then he returned. And he was very much a part of everything with us. And yes, there's a real consciousness of everything going on. And in fact, people, when they're passing, very often they'll say, you know, all of a sudden they'll see a loved one, and they'll say they see a loved one, or you see on their face that all of a sudden it brightens up, that, and then they leave. In fact, very often before they actually die, people have kind of a last breath when they seem to be really improving. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes it seems like a surprise when they pass, because it seems like they were improving.
Oh, amazing.
So, yes, so there is a consciousness, and that consciousness remains with this videotape of the cloud, which is actually really ever-present, in the sense that it always can interact with us in real time, so it understands what's going on in our own lives. So if we're having issues now and we want to get a little advice from someone who passed about what's going on now, they will be able to see and understand your situation. Hmm. Because they're around and they're watching this. And so they can interact real time on situations that might not have existed before they passed.
I'll be darned. We only have about a minute and a half left here, but I was just curious. When you say you communicate with spirits, do they talk to you? Do you see them? Do you feel them? Do you hear them? What?
Yes, I'm clairvoyant. That means I see, clairaudient, I hear, and clairsentient. So I feel it. And I have to tell you, I have a website, www.alexandraleclaire.com.
Okay.
And my last name is spelled Lecclere. Mm-hmm. And people can go to my website, and I do private sessions all around the world. If you're in New York, I can see you in person in New York.
Oh, that's great. Okay. And what about the book, Healing Wisdom from the Afterlife? Available where?
Yeah, anywhere. Amazon is a good place to get it.
Excellent.
And my first book also, Seeing the Dead, Talking with Spirits, the same thing.
Amazing. So what's next for you? I got about less than a minute here. What's next for Alexandra Leclaire?
Well, I'm very busy doing private sessions with people. So, again, if you're interested in a private session, go to my website, www.alexandraleclaire.com, and there's a list of all I do. I also do a virtual mediumship group on the second Tuesday of the month, and I do in-person group spirit group also.
Oh, good.
And then I also do a sweat lodge once a month.
So what do you do in your spare time? Anyway, Alexandra, I want to thank you so much. I will get back to you so we can schedule another show, because there's so much more we need to talk about.
Wonderful. I'd love to do that. Thank you so much.
You bet. Take good care now.
Thank you. You too.
Once again, Alexandra Leclaire. And coming up in that after the news, we're going to have a good one, because we're going to be talking about the way of the wild woman. What does that mean? I don't know, but we're going to find out together. And I'll leave you with this idea. Life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you respond to it. I like that. In the meantime, stay well. Talk with you in just a